There once was a man named Jean-Pierre, and Jean-Pierre was a very, very rich man. And he lived at the fort at Michilimackinac, where the Lake Huron and the Lake Michigan come together through the straits. Now, he was a very rich man, not because he was a farmer, no. He was not a rich man because he was a trapper, no. He was a very, very rich man because he raised horses. Now, he would race those horses, and people would come for many, many miles. They would place much money on the race. And because Jean-Pierre owned the winning horse, he would get a very large purse. And that is why he was a very, very rich man. Now, as fast as horse was a horse named Caribou. No horse ever beat Caribou in a race. And his favorite race would happen in the winter. They would hook a sleigh to the horse and go out on the Great Lake onto the ice. And they would run from one lake through the straits to the other and back and forth. Now, Jean-Pierre would sit with his great Mackinac coat, his wolfskin mittens, and the whip would crack over Caribou's head. And he would be a speck going from one lake through the straits back and forth. And Jean-Pierre loved this race because it was very, very dangerous. You see, the ice on the big lake is not like ice that we know. That ice can shift. That ice can move. One minute could be ice in front of you, and the next it could open up, and the rider and horse could drown. That same ice can shift and move again, and a mountain could appear in front of you. Or the horse could fall and break a leg, and you would have to shoot the horse. But because it was so dangerous, Jean-Pierre loved it. And after the races, they would go to the tavern at Michilimackinac, and there they would drink the hot brandy. And Jean-Pierre would drink too much hot brandy, and soon he would begin to brag. He would say things like, "My Caribou, she can outrun the wind. There's no horse faster than my Caribou. My Caribou, she can jump one ice floe to another 20, 30, 40 feet, never get her feet wet. There is no horse as fast as my Caribou." And the old people, they would sit by the fire, they would shake their heads, and they would say, "Jean-Pierre, do not brag about your horse. The Luton loves the fast horse. The Luton will come and steal your Caribou." "The Luton? Ha! The goblin? Those are stories you scare the children at night with. There is no such creature." But the old people, they would shake their heads, and they would say, "Jean-Pierre, the Luton will hear you, and the Luton will come." Well, Jean-Pierre continued to brag about his horse, and nothing ever happened to him until one spring, late February, early March. He went to a party at a friend's house, and he rode Caribou. He put her in the barn with the other animals, and he went in to the house and had a wonderful time at the party. And in the early, early hours of the morning, he came back, and when he opened the barn doors and walked in and saw his horse, he became furious. Someone had ridden his horse. She was covered with sweat and lather, her eyes wild, her sides heaving in and out. Someone had ridden his horse. And Jean-Pierre took his horse home. And in the morning, as he brushed and groomed her, he found something very strange. There were many snarls and tangles in the mane and in the tail, and they would not come out. That night he put his horses to bed and went to sleep. In the morning he came down, opened his barn, and someone had ridden his horse again. Again she was covered with sweat and lather, her eyes wild, her sides heaving in and out, her nostrils flared. Now it was one thing to play a prank at a friend's house to ride his horse, but to come into his own barn, into his own stable, and ride that horse, oh, he would stop this. And that night, he locked the barn. And in the morning, the lock was in place, yet someone rode his horse. Night after night, this happened. Jean-Pierre could not see who rode his horse, and in the morning, the locks were always in place. He placed ash around the barn so he could find the footprints of whoever rode his horse, and in the morning, the ash lay undisturbed. The locks were in place, yet someone rode his horse. Caribou became weak and tired. She wouldn't eat. She became frightened all the time. And when she wouldn't drink, Jean-Pierre knew his horse would die. He was talking to a friend who was the blacksmith at the fort, and he told him what had happened, and his friend said, "It is the Lutan who rides your horse. There are many snarls in the mane and in the tail, yes?" Jean-Pierre said, "How did you know that? I didn't tell you about that." He says, "It is the Lutan. Those snarls, they not come out until the first rains of spring. How long has this been going on?" Jean-Pierre stopped and thought that it had been a fortnight. It would be 2 weeks that night. And his friend dropped what he was doing. He said, "No, it is tonight. It is on the fortnight that the Lutan will come and steal your horse. To stop the Lutan, you take the medal of a saint, you hang it around your horse's neck. You take water from the church and you sprinkle it around the barn, and you brand a cross on your horse's forehead. Only then will the Lutan leave your horse alone." Jean-Pierre laughed and said, "No, it is some man who rides my horse." But so he would not insult his friend. He took the medal and the holy water and the brand, and he went home. And on his way home, he made up his mind that he would stop whoever rode his horse. He would stay up that night, and he would kill them. That night, Jean-Pierre sat in his house. No fire burned, no candles lit. No one would know he was there. And he waited. His loaded gun was across his lap, and he waited. The clouds filled the sky. There was no moon. You could hear the wind coming through the trees, sounding almost like voices and whispers. And off in the distance, you could hear the groan and the crack of the ice on the Great Lake as it begins to melt and shift and float south. And Jean-Pierre waited. As he waited, he began to think that, well, perhaps I could hang the saint's medal on the horse's neck. Not that it would stop whoever rode my horse, but perhaps it wouldn't hurt. And he could sprinkle the water from the church around the barn. Not that it would stop whoever rode his horse, but perhaps it wouldn't hurt. And if he branded the horse high on her forehead under her mane, no one would ever know that he had done such a foolish thing. Not that it would stop whoever rode his horse, but perhaps it wouldn't hurt. And he was just about to do that when he heard the scream. It was a scream that made his blood run cold. It was a scream he had heard only once before in his life. A friend's barn had burned, and they could not get the horses out, and they had burned alive. It was the scream of a horse in absolute terror of its life, and it sounded human. Jean-Pierre lifted his gun, and he pointed it toward the barn doors and waited, and just then the wind came up. It blew the clouds away, and the moon came out full, and as the moonbeam hit the barn door, it burst apart as if by a cannon shot, and out came the horse with a rider on its back, and Jean-Pierre stopped and lowered his gun because no bullet would stop the rider on his horse's back. The rider looked like that of a man, yet had a wild flying mane and teeth of a wolf. Each hand was three claws, one held into the horse's mane, the other held a thorn staff, and it beat and it beat and it beat the horse. The horse reared and screamed, the horse's eyes were wild with fear. And the creature looked at Jean-Pierre, and the creature's eyes glowed red like coals from hell. Jean-Pierre did not know what to do. The horse began to pace and move and then come in front of the house, and the creature stopped the horse. The creature pointed a hooked finger at Jean-Pierre and said,
I come back for you next.
And then the horse began to run. Jean-Pierre took the water from the church. He threw it at the creature. The glass broke. The creature shrieked as if it had been boiling oil. The horse reared and screamed and ran off. Jean-Pierre came out of his house. He fired his gun so his neighbors would come, and he followed the tracks. They went through the forest, and they came to the shore of the great lake. And he walked out onto the ice. And finally he came to a huge gaping hole in the ice. And the water quietly lapped out. There was no sound. But the water looked black like oil. Jean-Pierre returned to his home. His friends and neighbors had come. He told them what had happened. And they looked at the barn doors, and it was as if a cannon shot had blown it apart. They found the marks in the snow, where the holy water had touched the creature and then the snow, and it was as if boiling oil had made those marks. They found the thorn staff that the creature had held in its hand, and the end of it glowed white hot. Jean-Pierre searched and searched, but he never found his caribou again. And that is why the people at Mackinac, they would hang the saint's medal on their horses' necks. They would sprinkle water from the church around the barn, and they would brand a cross on their horse's forehead. And that is why the Luton has never stolen another horse from there again.